jams going on. The angels turned up and they spoke to who last week it was? Mary. Not Merry Christmas, Mary. Mary, okay, Mary. Some of you are going, yeah, Mary. Next week we're looking at the story where the angels rock up and they talk to the shepherds. Wow, how about that, eh? And each time they turn up, you know what they say? Fear not. Why do you think they say fear not? Because they are afraid. You know this whole idea of little fat babies and nappies floating around called angels? That is not what an angel. When an angel rocks up, friend, you're going to wish you had a pair of nappies on. Okay, they are tall and they're strong. They're like Rambo. They were afraid. Today we're going to look at Joey. Yo, Joey. Yeah, Joseph. 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 Joseph and Mary. Not Merry Christmas. Joseph and Mary. He turned up. We're going to look at that story. And they said to Joseph, fear not. Isn't that amazing? All right, so here we go. Now we're going to do a little participation because this is what we're going to learn today. With Joseph, he's going to learn, or we're going to learn through him about fear of pleasing other people. Joseph is really, it's quite a powerful moment where he's really stuck in a moment there. Am I going to please God or am I going to please people? I wonder today whether you like pleasing people. All those people that feel like, man, I really want to please people. Can I get you to put your hand in the air like you just don't care, anybody? Who's going to be brave enough? I've got my hand in the air. Those people who want to please other people, put your hand in the air. Okay, there we go. And the people that, now, keep your hand in the air. People with your hand in the air, tell the person beside you without their hand in the air, you care too much about what people think. Yeah, absolutely, baby. You looked in the mirror this morning, right? You care what people think. The reality is that we all care about what people think. That's why you chose the clothes that you got on. We're worried about our clothes. We're worried about our looks. We're going to, oh, are they going to like my friends? Are people going to enjoy me? Is my car cool enough? I mean, have I got the ride looking good? Am I funny? Oh, man, we worry about what people think. What about our Instagram selfie? You know, four chins, two chins. Filter, duck lips. I mean, the girls do this thing. I mean, yeah, it's like, come on, get natural. I mean, we filter it up. We remove the, you know, try to get rid of the chins. I mean, we're worried about what people think. Isn't that true? In fact, we're obsessed with it. We're very obsessed with it. And Joseph is in this moment where he's battling the opinions of people. He's got to decide, am I going to do what's right or am I going to do what's easy? Now, you good people made that choice this morning. Am I going to go to church? Am I going to do what's right? Or am I going to do what's easy? Joseph has to do that. He comes to a point where he goes, this is what God wants and this is what people want. In fact, actually the scriptures, the Bible, this moment has him on a direct collision course with his culture. Sometimes following Jesus makes us very unpopular with our culture. Here's the context for you. He's engaged to a teenage virgin girl called, some of you are awake. Some of you have already opened up your Christmas cards, you know. He's engaged to this girl called Mary. Now, back in the day, engagements were a whole lot more serious than they are today. Back in the day, your engagement needed to last at least 1 year. Back in the day, you couldn't just break it off. I mean, like today when you're engaged and something weird happens, something goes down, and you go, oh, well, that's all over. Here's your ring. Bye-bye, big boy. But back in those days, you couldn't do that. It was at least 1 year. And this is interesting. The only way you could get out of an engagement is if you divorced them. You actually had to file for divorce at the local court of Jerusalem. I added that last piece at the end. That's not correct. You did have to file at a court, but it wasn't necessarily Jerusalem. You had to go and file. Now, if you, in the case of death, You're engaged, you're not married yet, but you're betrothed, is the old school word. You're engaged to be married. It's a very, very comprehensive two families coming together. And if you were to actually die or pass away through that time, you would actually become what they would call a widow or a widower. Make sense? It's a whole lot more serious than it is today. And so that's the context for what's about to go down in Matthew chapter 1. That's the mindset of Joseph, engaged to the virgin girl called Mary, and for all intents and purposes, she's cheated on him. And the culture and the community, bearing in mind, they're not living in a metropolis like Auckland. We can kind of get lost in the corner of the North Shore. No, they're in a small village community. Everybody knows everybody. Wow. So here we go. Let's pick it up here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Elbow your neighbor and say, hey, you're awake? Good, good, good. Here we go. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now we read these things, we get so familiar with the story, but you just imagine you are with Joseph and you're understanding this moment right now, the cultural context. Can you imagine, how would Mary communicate this to Joseph? Like, Joey, muffin cake, honey bumpkin, Joey, I've got some news for you. I'm pregnant. But don't panic. It's by the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you think's going through Joe's mind? I mean, putting the Holy Spirit to one side, either the girl is crazy, and I've come across a girl like that. I remember back in the 80s, remember that meeting? Back in the 80s, who likes the 80s? Yeah, big rock and mullets, man. Back in the 80s, I'm at this meeting, it's full of people, it's an electric atmosphere. And this woman stands up in the middle of it all and says, I had sex with the devil last night. Actually happened. Incredible. People are crazy. She's either crazy or she's a liar. Either way, he don't want the girl. Who wants a crazy girl for a wife or a liar for a wife? Mary says, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph is definitely thinking, if I stay with her, what is everyone going to think? What's everyone going to say? From Mary's perspective, she is marked for life. Back in those days, sex before marriage carried the death penalty by way of stoning. She'll be marked for life. You talk about shame, you talk about gossip, that would be Mary. Joseph's perspective, he's also marked forever. I mean, everyone's talking like, he's the guy who got her pregnant. You got to remember, in those days, it was when you did that, it was hard to get a job. No father would bless the marriage of his daughter to a guy like that. You couldn't even do business. I mean, you take your donkey down to the local garage for a bit of an oil up, and they say, you know, we don't serve donkeys like that around here. You couldn't do business. You couldn't get employment. You were ashamed, you were hidden. I mean, all this is going through. We don't know the state of Joseph's mind right now. What do you think he might do? Let's go to verse 19. The story unfolds some more, and it says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph's jumping out of the relationship. He didn't believe her. He's done. What's she up to? It's too much. He didn't want to take the heat. He just wants to move on, but he loves her. He really does love her. He wants to honor her. So he wants to minimize the shame on this woman that he loves. And so he just hopes that she could slip away somewhere in the corner of the village and maybe move on to another village. And somehow, maybe she could just have the baby and she could start over again. He's done with this. But Joseph's about to learn a very big lesson, friend. And this is the point of my message today. What Joseph is about to learn is that those who honor God, are you ready for it, people? Are you listening? Those who want to live lives to honor God and honor God above the opinions of people, for people that want to live like that, he realized on that day that pleasing God often means disappointing people. Pleasing God often meets disappointing people. I'm preaching better than you're responding. Come on. It's a powerful truth. When you're obeying God, people will not always agree. I could tell you story after story in my own life. Because of the convictions of Scripture, putting boundaries around certain relationships, even concerning my own household. Because God said, wow. Pleasing God, everyone say this after me, pleasing God often means disappointing people. That is the truth. Let's continue with the story in verse 20 to 21. But as he considered these things, that's Joseph, he's weighing it up, pros and cons, like, whoa, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Some translations say, fear not. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, what you're about to hear is so powerful. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Joseph, you don't have to go to the baby names book. I'm telling you what to call the boy. His name is Jesus, for he will save the people, he'll save his people from their sin. Hallelujah. And he woke up in a dream, and I can only imagine the pendulum that swung. He learned about his girl, she's pregnant. Is she crazy? Is she a liar? He knows exactly what this means in the culture. The cost is huge. On the other hand, he's had a real encounter with an angel in a dream. I mean, did he eat too much pizza the night before? Was it really a dream? Was that you, God? He's got this pendulum swinging. On one hand, he knows that for centuries, the prophets spoke of a great Messiah who was coming. And he realizes, man, I'm going to get to be a part of the biggest event in human history. On the other hand, as emotions swing over and fear hits him, oh my gosh, what are the people going to say? What are they going to think? I mean, I can barely struggle to believe this. What are they going to say? The neighbors and the family and the extension and the people, the local shopkeeper down the road, what are they going to say? But then the pendulum swings over again and is this really happening? Is this a great God moment that I can be a part of? And then he realizes once again, kind of a reality check, I have no idea how difficult this is going to be. Everybody says, all his mates, all his buddies down the pub at the rugby club, they're all saying, run from the girl. She's crazy. Run. Get out of it. Disconnect. Defriend. Don't follow. Get rid of out of your life. They're all saying it. Don't marry the girl. In fact, the girl should be stoned. She's cheating on you. What is Joseph going to do? Do I please God? Do I please people? Do I do what God wants me to do? Or do I do what people want me to do? Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you today, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, there are moments in your life you'll be confronted with exactly the same challenge. Some of you this morning, I'm sure, are facing that right now. What am I going to choose? What am I going to do? We shrink back from our convictions and we shrink back from what we know is what God's will for our life is just to please people. It's called compromise. We have an opportunity to obey God. Sometimes stepping out, he says, do not be afraid. He asks us to do things that, man, we love control. We want to know what's going on. We want the detail. I mean, did you notice this? God gave them no detail. Have a boy, call him Jesus. He's going to save the world. Yeah, but how do we raise God? How do we discipline the God, the Son of God? I mean, do we spank him? Do we give him time out? He's perfect, right? He's probably going to spank us. I mean, they didn't give me no roadmap, you know, like parenting, 101, raising God. Nothing was there. The same moment, the same decision that you have to make, I have to make regularly. Am I going to follow my own opinion, the opinions of other people, or am I going to follow Jesus? I want to know this morning, are there Jesus followers in the room? Are there people here that go, I'm following Jesus, I respect my culture, I respect my intellect, I respect conventional wisdom, but when God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. That was my attitude to tithing. That was my attitude to sharing my faith. It's the fear of man that blocks most of the stuff. We're trying to control everything, and God is saying, why don't you trust me? Fear not. And if you're never at that point of decision, friend, you can't be following the Jesus that I know. You might be singing about some cute little Jesus in a play or a nativity scene, but Jesus calls for commitment. He's Lord and Savior. He's not some fire insurance. Make us feel good. He does all of that, but he's Lord and Savior. And Joseph's got to make a decision. Do I follow God or do I follow people? Catch this statement, I think it's so true. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Now that's good, that's worthy of repeating. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. The reality is we all want to please people. I do, it's not wrong necessarily, but when you know it's in contradiction with the Word of God, then we've got a choice we have to make. Some of you had to make that decision last night. Do I watch the movie or don't I watch the movie? A Christian leader recommended a movie to me this week. I did a little research and there's 4 F words, 3 C words, a whole bunch of other words. Aside from full frontal nudity in a strip club. And I'm thinking, really? That was not really in my notes. I thought I'd just throw it out there. We all have to make these decisions. Without meaning to, we surrender our lives to the opinions of people because we just are afraid of rejection. We're afraid of not fitting in. But we do it at the expense of actually living to please God. How do we overcome that? Well, I've got good news. We just have to flip it over. Just flip it completely over. Becoming obsessed with what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget what people think about you. When you know who you are in Christ, sure, we want to please, but our confidence doesn't go up and down based on the words of people or that little message you got last night with no context and no tone. It's what God says about you, and that's why he says, keep in my word, believe what I say, I love you, I'm for you, I'm with you. Come on, people. Come on, friend, who's excited about that? We're not left random just to kind of make it through life. He gave us a road book. It's called the Bible. We've got the Word of God to tell us who we are. Praise Jesus. We live for an audience of one. When it's all said and done, my wife is not going to be with me in Judgment Day. My sons will not be there. It'll be Richard Jared Urban, born 16th of July, 1966. And God will say, I gave you these opportunities. I gave you these talents. Did you use it faithfully? We live, we serve for an audience of one. My confidence doesn't go up and down depending on the numbers in the room. I know what God's called us to do, and we're going to move forward and do it. Praise Jesus. If I wonder whether today you've got an attitude that says, God, I want to please you, and you alone above all things. I want to please you with all that I do. I want to please you with my very, very best friend. I wonder if that's your attitude today. Is God just an add-on to your life, or is he the very beginning and the meaning of your life, friend? I want to please you, Lord. This is the best and the quickest and perhaps the only way to grow past living for the approval of others. Here's the bottom line with life. You can't please everyone. Can someone please say amen to that? Amen. And if you try to please them and you try to please them, you stay in the middle of the road and everybody hates you. You've got to make a call. I remember a story about an old man and a boy and a donkey. And they're on a little trip. They're going to the village. And the old man puts the little boy on the donkey and they walk through to the village. And the people saw them coming and they began to murmur. And man, can you believe it? Look at the old man. Look at the child. The child's making the old man walk. We need to look after the elderly. I mean, we haven't got wheelchairs anymore. We've got a donkey here. So the boy should be walking and the old man should be on the donkey. So the old man, he hears whisper of this and says, okay. And off they go through the village to the next village. So he switches it up, puts the child on the ground, says the child can walk and the old man is on the donkey. And they come into the village and wouldn't you know it, people are murmuring and they're whispering, wow, can you believe it? The old man is on the donkey making the child walk. Man, this is child slavery. And so they're going through the village and they're heading on to the third village. And the old man's thinking, man, if I get on the donkey, I can't win. If the boy gets on the donkey, can't win. So you know what I'll do? I'll just carry the donkey. And then what do the village say? Man, how dumb are you, man? Carrying the donkey. I forgot the part where they both get on the donkey, but then everybody feels sad for the donkey because he's got a hard day at the office. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't. So why don't we just try to please God? Husbands, please God before your wife. Man to man, shepherd to sheep, father to son. It's the best advice. And every woman in this place, I believe, any half-decent wife would say amen. Amen. You please God, you please the girl, but please God first. You can please the girl and not please God. Wives, please your God first before your husband. Amen. If God is first in your life, you will make an absolute excellent husband. It's God first. That's how this life thing works. And the more we get rid of him, the more life gets just crazy. I know. I've been a part of it. You can't please everyone. So how do we live for God instead of people? Well, I've got two thoughts for you today. Here we go. Here's the first thought. If you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. Yeah, you like that one, do you? Uh-huh. Oh, now we're talking, yeah, real Christianity. That's right, baby. Not just a church meeting. Not religion. We're talking real Christianity. If you're not ready to be criticized, get out of the boat, baby. If you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. I bet you Joseph and Mary, they got criticized. They got big time criticized. They were a public disgrace. Hey, that's not really Joseph's birthday, of Joseph's baby. Hey, they say it was the Holy Spirit, but I saw his donkey parked up at her place at 2 a.m. in the morning. And we all know they weren't doing Bible study at 2 a.m. in the morning. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, if you want to follow God's word, friend, you will be criticized. Some of us in the room have had to turn away from drunken, wild parties because God says, don't get drunk. And mates go, what are you, weirdo? Don't you know what year it is? What about sexual purity? Say no before marriage. For the culture says, you're strange. But I mean, look at normal STDs and babies everywhere. I mean, goodness me, God might know what he's talking about. What about someone in the room? I know we've got people in the room that said, you know what? I could use my money to go on a beautiful holiday to Fiji, but I'm going to use it on a missions trip to Papua New Guinea next year. Yeah, and the culture and the media says, no, spend it on yourself. Oh, the almighty dollar. That will bring joy and happiness. No, it will not. What about saying no to yourself and say, you know what, I'm not going to buy 3 TVs now. I'm going to get my debt down. Some of us in the room felt God call them, emphasis on the word God, called them to leave their careers and to serve God in a full-time capacity. Why would you do that? I still remember standing there in this cafeteria, a farewell. Remember that? Well, Chrissy had to come and pick me up because I had to hand in the keys to the brand new company car and the whole package and have a little farewell speech out there in the company in Mount Wellington, Vesty Drive, and they're just promising career, the youngest manager rising through national responsibilities and saying, I mean, so it's a top 500 company, money everywhere. It's a very, very profitable pharmaceutical company. They just didn't get it. I traded it in for an old beaten-up Toyota Hiace van, church van, in crazy times, man. Why would you do that? Here's a leadership lesson for us all today. Those who make the biggest difference endure the greatest pain. Those who make the biggest difference in life endure the greatest pain. If you want to live a life where nobody criticizes you, do two things. Do nothing and stand for nothing. If you want to play it safe and not be criticized, well, I'm going to criticize you because you're doing nothing and you're standing for nothing. And there's no way you can serve Jesus Christ and say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. There's just no way you can have God living on the inside of you and do nothing, friend. Oh, friend, come on. I choose the bullets. I'd rather do something significant with my life and take a few bullets, even from Christians, than do nothing on the side. Come on now, you with me now? Anybody alive and awake? Choose the bullets, my friend. I remember we started homeschooling. It's always dangerous to say that. Not everyone should homeschool. Let me just say that. We're not up here advocating homeschool. What we're advocating is parents looking at alternatives and making informed decisions for their particular child. We did it, and we had the Christians, and non-Christians. Oh, what about their social life? Oh, that's weird. What are you going to do, wear denim skirts and make butter? So weird. To which I want to say, well, have you seen normal? When I came to Every Nation Church, I had pastors call me. Don't you know the pastor's American at the time? American? These are senior pastors. Yes, I know they're American, you idiot. I'm after God inside the American, not the American. And thank God for America. I remember. And I moved into a church that was predominantly not white, and just the comments are incredible. Christians. You know, this church has a very clear message about lordship. Can I tell you, we get criticized for that message? Because most churches don't preach that message. They think it's okay to just have a nice time. Like Oprah Winfrey on steroids, you know, just life skills and, you know, just nice. Jesus was a whole lot more than nice. We get criticized for our stand and our message on lordship. I don't mean the harsh, condemning lordship. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, being Lord, being boss of our life. It's a message that some people don't like. We get criticized or we get resisted by people who come into a multicultural setting like this. They're just not used to that. They want everything to look like them. And I think, how boring to always eat vanilla ice cream all your life. We get resistant. Oh, they come and they put up with us and they're tolerant, but then they go off because they want everything to look like their world. To which I think is so boring. We are taking quite a public stand, and we'll continue to do so on this matter of abortion in our country. And I'm bracing myself. I'm getting ready for the fact the bigger we get, the church has tripled now in the years that we've been going. We've had over 300 salvations, over 350 people have made this place, or Tauranga Hamilton, we're one whānau, one church, made it our home, over 130 salvations. As we get bigger in number, it does give us more platform. I'm prepared, I'm getting ready to get criticized, certainly by the media and by culture. Not that we want that, not that we're trying to attract that, we're not trying to be that kind of church, but on the other hand, we can't remain silent on a very clear issue. And a lot of churches, most churches, are silent right now because I believe they need to hear this message. Fear not. They need to hear the message. What are you going to choose? You're more worried about your community funding than standing up for babies? And I think somewhere along the line here, with humility and grace, friend, I'm telling you, I feel it. I think we're on a track here to get some criticism. Brace yourself. The plane is about to land, and it's not going to be easy. To which I say, bring it on. You must do what you must do, but we will not deter. We're not going to be muted. We're not going to back off. We may be small in number compared to the nation, but we have to speak. You don't have to be big to have a voice. That wasn't really in my notes, but I wanted to say that. If you're not willing to be criticized for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by Him. Sit down. The second thing, ooh, we've got tension in the room. I love this. It's tension. It's good. The second thing that we want to do, our second thought about how we move to pleasing God, not people, and this is going to set some people free in the room. Are you ready? Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. I want you to think about this. Have we got any teenagers in the room? Come on, teenagers, come on. Yeah. Have we got any parents of teenagers in the room? I want you to get this down, people. Get ready for this one. Are you ready? The Savior of the universe was born to two teenagers who said yes to God. Yeah. Teenagers are not sort of in training little people that have no real authority. Friends, I want to tell you, God Himself was manifest upon the earth through two teenagers, Joseph and Mary. And because they had the gall, because they had the courage, and they weren't all tied down with the fears of older people, they said, yes, God, we're going for it. And the Savior of the universe came into the planet. Simple act of obedience. No details. God says, just obey me and I'll show you the details, the reason, ladies and gentlemen, why you are still where you are, because you're all waiting for the details and the assurance and the signed documents from God's lawyer to say it's definitely, really, truly going to happen. But God's saying, no. I want someone who's willing to step out of the boat, someone who's going to trust me and trust me with their life, trust me with their finance, trust me with their relationships, trust me with their health. That's what God's looking for, friend. He says, I will handle all the details. You and I don't need to understand completely to obey immediately. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. Can I get the band up, please? While I calm down with a nice cool drink of water. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. I want to tell you today that you have no idea what one act of obedience will set into motion. One act of obedience will set into motion. You have no idea, friend. You see, we only see one dimensionally. We see the kind of the first foot in front of us, but we don't realize what God's doing. Even in the negative things, even in the setbacks, God is often repositioning us to get us into a situation. A setback is a setup for a lift up. I see Pastor Alfred here on the front row. Can you remember when I called you? Years ago, about 10 years ago, we needed someone to come and run a parenting program in our church, and I called the pastor of our South Auckland church, our Manukau church, and we had no one. Said, man, could we get your leader to come up and just run this parenting thing? And I had no idea. I was just trying to solve a gap, a problem, a need right there for our parents, for our young parents, because, you know, very child-centered and the kids are running it, just trying to get order in the home and get a biblical framework. And I called, we now call Pastor Alfred, I called him up and they agreed. I had no idea that God would move their heart to be planted in our church, to then have him donate 2 days a week, intentionally and deliberately drop his income. Because Pastor Alfred said, I cannot remember when I last gave and it hurt. I've always given out of my excess, because he had means, he'd had a very good career. I had no idea that that would lead to him coming on staff full time. I had no idea that this facility would never have got off the ground without someone of his capacity. I had no idea what God is doing in his family and his life and his extended family. I had no idea when I just called out of obedience, I just called him. He said, could you help us? And we had all these other positive things happen. We bought a home in New Windsor just by Avondale there and felt it was God. We just bought it because we needed a home for our house, our family. I had no idea that we were going to have scores of people from church live there and look after the home. I had no idea that the property could be subdivided and we could organize the finance. I had no idea that Auckland Transport was going to buy huge sums of money just to trim the property. I had no idea God's plan and purpose to financially bless us, to position us, to come and do what we're going to do. You see, you've got no idea what one act of obedience, real obedience, not persuasive, read books and consult everybody. When God says it, we go, yes, God. It's a scary place, but friend, on the other side, it's liberating. Oh, God is real. God is true. God is personally engaged in every one of our lives. And he just says, trust me. Trust me. I had no idea when we took on the leadership of this church back in 2013. I had no idea the church would triple. Hundreds of people getting saved. Many have moved on into other places around the world now. Hundreds saved. Hundreds baptized. Hundreds added to our church. And there's hundreds and thousands yet to go. I had no idea. I was just obeying God with all my fear and anxiety about being a senior pastor. I heard God. Actually, I heard him in Bali, Indonesia. That's when God really nailed it in my heart and I began to weep for this beautiful nation. I had no idea. We have no idea what a simple act of obedience can do. Maybe you're inviting some of the church or your connect group. You have no idea the spirit that we carry, the hope that fills these rooms, the faith in your home. You've got no idea what genuine hospitality will do in a soul that's broken and bruised. Even when you're serving in church, you might think, well, I'm just going to be serving in church. But friend, I want to tell you, everything that we do in this place blesses somebody else. Blesses somebody else. You might sign up for GSM or ENK or maybe a single guy, you might meet a single girl there, who knows? Oh, I could mess with this one real good. You know, you might get serving, any single guys here, you might get serving in there. And God finally moves you to sell your Xbox, iron your shirt, brush your teeth, and ask a girl out on a date, for goodness sake. You're 35, you need a bit of action in your love life. Oh, I thought I was just serving at church. Oh, buddy. Oh, no. You're blessing people, and you might meet somebody real significant. I met my wife in church while serving on the worship team. And I'm married to her today. And more so, I'm happily married to her today. Oh yeah, you have no idea what one act of obedience will do. So the angel spoke to Joseph. And Joseph, it's time to decide. What will you do? Will you obey God? Or will you be worried about the opinions of people? Will you let fear rob you of your destiny? Will you do what's right, or will you do what's easy? One little verse gives us the answer today. Verse 24 reveals the answer, and it says this: when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Joseph made his decisions. He weighed it all up. The pendulum was swinging, the emotion, the humanity, the word of God. And it says here, oh, when he woke up, he did what the angel had commanded him. All through this moment, friend, through it all, the simple act of obedience brought the greatest act of God in human history. It was brought to fulfillment then. One teenage boy said yes to God. Teenagers, say yes to God. This culture is vomiting all its loose lifestyle and its antichrist spirit, and all it's vomiting it all over you. I fear for you. The media is trying to raise you up and steal the seed of God away from your life. I want to say to you, say yes to God. Yes to Jesus. You might even lose some friends. You might even be unpopular. Mum and dad might be lukewarm, washed-up Christians. Go for Jesus. Find someone that's older, that's going for Jesus, lives uncompromising, and follow them. This nation needs young people on fire. We need more Josephs and we need more Marys. They'll say, yes, God. Not half-baked, compromising Christians. So what is God asking you to do, friend? For some of us, we need to take a bold stand. You know you've been flirting with temptation, flirting with compromise, flirting with areas, and you know you need to take a stand. You know it's time, man. You've been fellowshipping, hanging out with that friend of yours 5 years. It's time now. It's time to share why you love Jesus. For some of us in the room, we need to let go. Say, God, take full control. This area of my life I'm struggling with. It's time. It's time to give it all to Him. For some of us in the room, we need to give our whole life to Jesus. And really, give our whole heart to Him. Are you willing to accept Jesus Christ? Have you come to that point in your life where you're willing to accept Him as Lord and Savior? Are you over what people think? The angel said to Joseph and Mary that Jesus will save people from their sin. It's the same Jesus that I speak of today. It's the same Jesus. He's still saving people from their sin. Can someone say hallelujah? He's still the same Jesus. It's the same person, the same God-man. Jesus Christ. It's why He came. It's His mission. It's what He's all about. He came to help people. It's the same power. It's the same love. It's the same grace. When Jesus comes into your life, He changes everything. Everything changes for the good. You should have seen this messed up boy before I met Jesus. And there's so many stories in this room of genuine transformation because you said yes to Jesus. You're a Christian, but you know you've not been living a bold witness for Him. You know that you've been keeping it on the down low. You just don't want people to know. You're afraid. You're afraid to make a stand. You're afraid of being rejected. You're afraid of looking weird. You're afraid of whatever you're afraid of, all kinds of things. But you know God's saying, come on, I want you to stand for me. I want you to follow me. I want you to obey me. I put you in that situation to be a witness, to be a light. And you found yourself in a situation where you're more concerned about what people think than what God thinks. If that's you today, well, the eyes are closed. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Also, you're a believer today, but you've been struggling to trust God. Maybe it was a situation you kind of gave to God, but now you've taken it back. You're in this little tug of war, whether it's health related or finance related or career or job or whatever the situation, but you know God's saying, trust me. Come on now, give it to me. Let me have it. Trust me. That's you today. I want to pray for you today. And thirdly and finally, if you're not walking with Jesus, if you're not a Christian, but you want to give your heart to Him, we just got through singing. There's no shame too deep. There's no pain too real. Words to that effect. God specializes in taking messed up situations and making them beautiful. God specializes in taking messed up situations and making them beautiful. Jesus came for you, friend. He came for me. He came for us. He came because He knew we couldn't fix it. Good behavior can't fix it. Giving money to the poor can't fix it. Even going to church religiously won't fix the situation. What needs to be fixed, what needs to happen, is Jesus needs to forgive our sin. We've got to place our faith and trust in Him. If you're willing to trust Him, if you're willing to say, God, I want to confess my sin to you. Jesus, I want to give you all my heart, all my life. He will come and live on the inside. He will show you a whole new life. He will remove the pain. He'll bring forgiveness. His grace, oh friend, it's undeserved. It's unearned. That's exactly right. And that's why He did it. It's called love. Aruha. Love. It's why He came. Because He loves you. And He wants to give you a whole new heart, a whole new life. If you'll give it to Him. If you give it to Him. On the count of three, all those people, would you lift your hands up to the Lord? Whether it's you want to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, whether you need to trust Him fully and completely, step out of compromise or step out of this funky space. To God, I want to give it all to you. I want to go all out for Jesus. On the count of three, regardless of if God's speaking to you, if God's knocking on the door of your heart, on the count of three. One, two, three. Hands in the air. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands every Father, right now's hands are raised amongst these beautiful people. Father, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, we give it all to you. Lord, all of our stuff, we give it to you, Lord. Take it, all of our pain, all of our, Lord, our shame. Father God, we give it all to you. And I pray, Lord, for each and every life here this morning, every hand that's raised, that, Lord, they trust you. Lord, that give it all to you. And Lord, look to you, God, that you would, Lord, come even right now and live on the inside, that you'd bring your renewed faith and new strength as we turn from trusting ourselves, turn from sin. Lord, we repent and turn today. We turn to you, Jesus. You're the solution. You're the answer. And we want you today. We embrace you today. We call out today. Oh, Jesus, come in my life. Take up residence in my heart. Make me new. Make me more like you, Jesus. We pray this now over the mighty, beautiful people of God. In the powerful name of Jesus, we declare, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior and He's Lord. Jesus, take up your place. Sit on the throne of our hearts right now. Every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.